morning, Montreal. You are listening to the Wednesday Morning After, and I am your host, Sheila Ferrando. We have a stacked show for you today with three pre-recorded interviews. The first one is with Mariano Franco, creator of Papi Chulo Ampersand Su Grupo Invisible. The second one is with Norman Naraki over his online play, Ukrainians, Pelicans, and the Secret of Patterson Lake. The third interview is with Charles Virox Ficarro over his latest work, including his collaboration with Ari Sky. 8 o'clock brings Democracy Now, and 8:15 will bring weather. Then we'll wrap up the show. Let's start the day off with some music.
La samba vient d'ailleurs, d'un sourire de nostalgie, c'est une forme de prière. La samba vient d'ici, la samba là-bas est le.
Le
samba ici est là, si c'est le ou si c'est là, ce qui compte c'est samba. Oh le samba lélé, par ici, samba là-là, par là-bas, samba lélé. Par ici, samba la la, par là-bas. Pour combler mon silence, les mots et les nuances, la paix en résonance, sans ambivalence.
Samba lélé, par ici, samba la la, par là-bas. Samba lélé, par ici, samba la la.
La samba vient d'ici, de la mer de Gaspésie. C'est une vague d'espoir, une syncope du Brésil. Cette samba est en français, c'est aussi en portugais. Ça pourrait même être anglais, une samba sans frontières.
Samba lélé, par ici, samba la la.
Different name.
Papi Chulo ampersand Su Grupo Invisible is the new electro-tropical project from Mariano Franco, a truly self-taught artist who has been working in the Montreal music industry for several years. First a member of a hardcore band in his native Mexico, he is now studying film production at Concordia, an experience that will lead him to work on various projects, including making documentaries, music videos, and composing music for television and theater. With us today, we have Mariano Franco, Papi Chulo, ampersand Su Grupo Invisible. Hi, Mariano, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Jira. Thank you very much for having me.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to be involved in Papi Chulo, ampersand Su Grupo Invisible.
Yes, well, as everybody heard, my name is Mariano Franco. Listen, I've been here for about 20-something years and making music through all these years with different projects. And Papi Chulo is finally my solo project, we can say. I started after I had this huge band, the Psychotropical Orchestra, back in 2008, 2009. And at the end of that era, I just took a long pause. And at the same time, with technology today, I just started making music in my computer until the day a friend of mine heard that, and he said, well, you should just release an album. I had like 20 songs. So I did in 2017 under the name of Papi Chulo. And for this new album, I add the Papi Chulo and his Grupo Invisible, his invisible group, because there is a lot of collaborators in this album. It's not just electronic music. It is also organic music at the top of it. We recorded percussions, horns, the bass, and I had lots of friends singing also. So that's how it came to be now Papi Chulo and his Grupo Invisible.
So yes. What went into making your new Tropipunk album, Ritmo de lo Habitual?
Yeah, well, what make into it? It's a very actually interesting. First of all, I released an album in 2017, which was really more like electro I don't know how can I describe my music, but it wasn't that tropical. And I'm from Mexico, you know, and I, even though I've been always, I was, when I was young, a punk rocker, I always had this like tropical side of my soul. And so for this album, it just was natural to get back to cumbia, to mambo specifically, which I really like a lot, and just mix it along with the music I like, which is dance music and electronic music. And this is what it came to be. And it was a very natural process. I always just start with like a little beat, and then from there it goes on. It was very magical, I say, because I was supposed to release it in May as an electronic album, and then I had to stop because of the pandemics. And some friends then who were like non-playing suggested me to record actually the horns and the percussions with real instruments. And so I said, okay, let's do it again. So we had people from Montreal, but also from Panama, sending me files, recording stuff. And so we remixed the whole thing, and now we have Real Modelo Habitual.
May we hear some of your music?
Sure, yes.
This is Ritmo de lo Habitual on the Wednesday Morning After.
Oh,
musical influences?
My musical influences, well, you know, I'm a kid. I'm not a kid anymore, but I'm somebody who grew up in the 80s, 90s, and I have very, very wide influences. But for this project, which is a dance, electronic music project, I think I'm mostly influenced by all the break beats in the 80s, you know, when we used to dance break dance and the Miami bass. And then I would say also the big beat, as we call it, you know, the Prodigy and all those bands in the 90s. And even I would say some industrial, kind of soft industrial music. And at the same time, I have Pérez Prado on my mind. I have all this, you know, Colombian cumbia, champeta, and so it's all those things. And I guess a little bit of psychedelic music and a little bit of punk attitude. If you hear Ritmo de lo Habitual, it's a bit of champeta mambo, but at the same time, it's almost industrial music, you know. It's very fast, very frenetic. So that's what I like.
What is the process you go through when writing a song?
Well, first it all starts with a beat in my mind, basically, you know. Sometimes I'm just walking and I have this loop of music that comes into my mind and to my brain, and then I get home, I have a home studio, and I just expand on that specific beat. And once I have the drums already structured, then I add the bass. So it's basically the rhythm section that comes first in a Papi Chulo song. And then from there, once everything is there, I start adding layers of synthesizers or horns or percussions, everything that makes it more interesting. And at the very end comes the lyrics. If the song needs lyrics, I for a long time had bands where I had to sing and say lots of things. It's not the case anymore. I prefer to dance.
Maybe hear some more of your music?
Yes.
This is Satanico on CKUT.
Oh!
What are you planning to do to celebrate your album release?
Well, it's a very interesting question. We, you know, as we know in Montreal, we're in the red zone, so we can't do that much to celebrate. But it will be released next week, and I'm planning of recording a live session with some of the musicians, invited musicians, and well, we're still trying to sync that, you know, everybody's like in a different mood, and it's hard to get everybody there, but it will come eventually. And the release of a new music video, and then just like saving energy really for when a vaccine comes and we can party like crazy, I hope very soon.
Where may our listeners go to find some free listening time or buy your album?
Well, you can go to elpapichulo.com, which is E-L-Papichulo, P-A-P-I-C-H-U-L-O.com, elpapichulo.com. You can find there all the info for about the project, the YouTube channel, the SoundCloud, Bandcamp, and eventually when the album comes, it will be released, of course, on Spotify and all those places.
Well, thank you for your interview today.
Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Mariano Franco speaking about Papichulo, ampersand su Grupo Invisible. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando. The play weaves Manitoba and Ukrainian history, emigration, mythology, birding lore, an epidemic, Anglo-Saxon prejudice, and family memory into a gripping 30-minute long one-act production. In this story of courage and resilience in a harsh new reality, a Ukrainian peasant farmer reminisces about a sequence of shameful events 50 years earlier in the promised land that ended in tragedy. It marked him and a group of 200 other newly arrived Ukrainian immigrants and family for life, and is still remembered and commemorated today. With us today, we have Norman Naraki, the Polish-Ukrainian-Canadian himself. Hi, Naraki, and welcome to the show.
It's actually Norman. Navratsky is the family name. You can call me Navratsky if you want. Thank you for having me, Sheila. It's a pleasure to come back, even during this COVID period. It's a pleasure to be back with you.
Well, thank you for starting to introduce yourself. Please do tell us who you are and how you came to write Ukrainians, Pelicans, and The Secret of Patterson Lake.
Well, I'm a Montreal-based playwright, actor, musician, sometimes author. The plays grew out of research I've been doing into my own family history for a new novel that I'm writing. And before COVID, I used to visit Manitoba all the time, like every year. Visit family and friends and do the research. I heard about this story a long, long time ago. I visited Patterson Lake a long, long time ago, not realizing one day I'd actually be writing about it. And back then I saw this beautiful sight, pelicans. I've never seen pelicans before. I've never seen such a beautiful thing. And I never forgot that image. And I did more research just about that lake and history and realized that there's this little known story from 1899. And even though it's commemorated annually there by people who are descendants of the families that were directly affected, it's unknown to the broader public. So I thought, I'm going to do this. I'm going to write this story and turn it into a play because it has lessons for today and it's even more relevant during COVID.
Who plays in the play with you?
Well, it's me portraying three different characters. The first one is I'm the grandfather. I'm a 70-year-old Ukrainian grandfather. And then I've got my 20-year-old grandson. And then a modern-day birder, a bird watcher. Because the play is set in 1949, and the grandfather is reminiscing about 1899, 50 years earlier. And then a birder appears on the scene, and the birder is actually from the 21st century. And the birder is just focused on the birds on the lake, while the grandfather is focused on his family story. And the grandson was just part of all this.
So what is the play about?
It's about a Ukrainian grandfather. He used to be a peasant in the old country in Ukraine. And when he came here, he became a farmer. And he's reminiscing about his life when he immigrated here 50 years earlier in 1899. And he's reminiscing about his first encounters with Canadian, Manitoban, Anglo-Saxons. Because as a Ukrainian, he was considered like an alien, like an other person, an immigrant, a foreigner, and there are lots of other things that they used to describe, other words they used to describe him and other Ukrainians at that time. So he's spending time with his grandson, who's fishing on the lake, and it's 1949. And as he's spending time there, he's trying to remember everything that happened 50 years earlier that marked him. So at the same time he's there, this bird watcher is there, but he's in the 21st century, and he's observing wildfowl on Patterson Lake, birds. And so he's actually there 70 years later, but he's in the same place. And
how does this play reflect your personal heritage?
Well, it really is a mirror of my family history on my mom's side, her family, because my grandparents, my great uncles, great aunts, and other extended family emigrated here in 1900. And they were part of that first wave, what's known as of Ukrainian immigration to Canada. And my family apparently knew people from that earlier group that came in 1899. They came from the same village, the same region in Ukraine. And there were stories I heard from my mom and my aunts and my uncles, stories about my grandparents and my great aunts and uncles that they didn't want to talk too much about it. And it didn't make too much sense to me at the time. But we, as kids growing up, listening to some of this stuff, we knew that there was a backstory. There was something going on in the background, and they didn't want to talk about it too much. And a lot of it had to do with the way they were treated by English Canadians when they first came to Canada. So, yeah, so that's what this play is based on.
Why this play at this point in history?
Well, frankly, the issues are still with us. Like, we're still dealing with questions of prejudice and discrimination and racism and marginalization of, new immigrants, immigration policy, refugee policy, how we respond to new immigrants, how people are advocating for changes in immigration policy, opening the borders, not opening the borders. All these issues are still current and very much with us. And now during the pandemic, well, there's also lessons in my play about what happened in 1899 when there was an epidemic at that point. I had no idea, like when I first conceived the play, that it would be relevant to what's going on today.
What are the issues that you're raising in Ukrainians, Pelicans, and the Secret of Patterson Lake?
Well, as I said, they're basic human issues, how we treat each other, how we regard each other, how we objectify, other people, how we, how open are we? How compassionate are we? These are all questions that are still with us today, and people juggle like, oh, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to respond? What should I be doing? And they're fundamental, like human values that we need to be in touch with still, despite the times, despite the difficulties and the hardships. And, we see a lot of this coming out during COVID, people taking care of each other, trying to help each other, a lot of mutual aid projects, people shopping for each other, getting medicine for each other, reaching out to each other, helping each other, regardless of, who they are. And, unfortunately, this wasn't always the case in Canada. So it's something never to forget, that how important this is to keep our fabric, our humanness, alive and healthy.
Where may we watch the play?
For the moment, it will be on Facebook, on a live stream on my Facebook page on Saturday, November the 21st, coming up. And it'll be at 7 o'clock Montreal time. And we'll be recording it so that later people who don't have access to Facebook can watch it on YouTube.
If people want to buy your play or just listen to it again, where should they go? YouTube?
Well, eventually they'll go to YouTube, to my channel. I have a personal channel on YouTube full of my videos of my theater and music and other projects. So people will be able to go there and watch it if they can't make it Saturday night. But it's always fun to watch it live, direct. Last time I did a solo play here, live, direct, there were like 800 people watching. And it's quite exciting for me and for people to realize they're part of a larger crowd of 800 people watching this live theater being staged in my own apartment here, in Montreal.
Well, thank you for your interview today.
Thank you, Sheila.
You have been listening to Norman Naraki speaking about Ukrainians, Pelicans.
forced to go toe-to-toe, blow for blow in a war zone with only stones to throw. Vilified by all sides, vilified for small crimes, forced to go blow for blow in a war zone with only stones to throw. Goliath. We're gonna break. We're gonna break. We're gonna break. We're gonna break. The game hasn't changed, same old monopoly, same couple players on all of the property. I ain't a prop, don't get no props to me, my people still on me properly. Think we forgot, we was just property, think we'll be bought again, think that they brought them democracy. I think they brought back them poppy seeds, my people locked up and chopping. That's hypocrisy, we wasn't thought of, we wasn't brought up and taught, we was set up, that's why we get caught up. Y'all discarded us, put them bars up, of course we got bars up. We hard cause we hard up, they got them startups and Starbucks. We got a couple of stars, so they turn them to starters, they starve us. Can't even drink water, up north with that Flint water, all in the sink as they sleep for the kids on the brink. Y'all went to Harvard and Stanford, think harder for answers, man, think. We're far below standards, don't tell me anger won't help us. You told me the cancer would shrink, we need to shrink. We just see boys making bands and sink. Open your eyes, my fam, we all could be gone in a blink. Game hasn't changed, same game of life we play. Maybe I'm only one roll of the dice away from a rose with some ice and some gold on a license plate. We roll our whole life away. I think they gamed us, made us be gamers. They game with the system, they made it to play us. Gave us controllers, we gave no control up. The game wasn't made, so we make it, it's made up. It's worth it, they're waiting, just look at these wages they pay us. It's pennies, it pays us, they paint us in corners on corners. What can we do, man, we're cornered. I'm lucky I'm stuck in this booth, stuck here all cooped up. People get stuck up for loot, stuck up in bougie. What stuck us in jewelry, they cut us, stuck up for the youth. Stuck up for justice and truth. Now we can either get loud or just shut up and shoot. Give us a shot. Don't shut us out from the group. You can shut down the nuke. Don't push our buttons and suddenly y'all could go poof. Gone in a blink. Gone in a blink. In the blink, forced to go toe to toe, blow for blow in a war zone with only stones to throw. Vilified by all sides, vilified for small crimes. Forced to go blow for blow in a war zone with only stones to throw. Goliath.
When your parents need your help, you're there. When your kids say something's wrong, you're there. When your friends have a rough day, you're there. Be there for yourself the way you're there for others, as it's normal for these uncertain times to bring out negative emotions or anxiety. If you're finding it difficult to carry out daily tasks, there are solutions. Visit quebec.ca/gettingbetter or call Info Social 811. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
The COVID-19 pandemic in Canada is serious. We must continue to practice all public health measures. Follow local guidelines for gatherings, maintain physical distancing, wash your hands, wear a mask, and download the COVID Alert app. If you have symptoms, even mild ones, stay home. Protect yourself and others. Learn more at canada.ca/coronavirus or 1-833-784-4397. A message from the Government of Canada.
Charles V-Rock's Vicaro's style is straightforward rock and roll. His collaborations with Ari Sky woo you, and like all of his songs, take you further into his world. With us today, we have Charles V-Rocks Vicaro. Hi, Charles, and welcome to the show.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm just great today. First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to be involved in music.
So my name is Charles Vicaro. I am native of Montreal, and I've been living here most of my life. As far as I could remember, I wanted to be a guitar player. And finally, at 13, I started playing the guitar. And I've been playing guitar ever since. At the same time, I was also playing trumpet in the school band in junior high school. So I've been very musical, I guess, from birth. I don't know. I guess it's something natural, something that came natural to me.
So you have a history of projects, collaborations, and albums. Can you tell us about your recording history?
I don't have a vast recording history, but in the late 80s, I was in a rock band called Lipstick, which I am one of the founding members. And we were like a hair metal band, kind of like Ozzy, Bon Jovi, Whitesnake. And during that period, we were like very big locally here in Montreal. But in the late 80s, we got discovered by Whitney Houston's management, which was her company. And that gave us the opportunity to explore us performing in the East Coast United States for several months.
You're releasing a single called Can't Stop Running. What is the story behind this song?
This song is coming out November 13th. And this song, I wrote this song a few years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And it's the story of a common person that lives in a small town and aspires to leave for the big city for fortune and fame. And unfortunately, that wasn't in the cards, and ends up living the rest of his life in this small town. Therefore, it's called Can't Stop Running.
Can we hear some of your music?
Yes, definitely.
This is Can't Stop Running on the Wednesday Morning After.
Tired and torn, this is where I stand here all by myself. The seasons, they keep changing, and everything I see just stays the same. I've seen a million places, and all these empty faces, they look back at me. Been running around in circles, trying to catch my breath, but I don't know how. And I can't stop running
What are you doing to celebrate your current projects?
Celebrate is kind of hard this year. I mean, we've all been struck by COVID, and you know, although all the industries are suffering somewhat, I mean, the entertainment industry has come to a complete stop. So as far as celebrating, I mean, for someone like me, the celebration would be to perform in front of a live audience and to really get out there and have a contact with people, with your audience. So the celebrations have been limited. This year, by total, I don't know, just if something magical happened. I got nominated for the HMMAs, the Hollywood Music and Media Awards in LA.
Congratulations. And
thank you. Thank you. And it's just a giant opportunity, but you know, I can't fly to LA to do the ceremonies because now they're being hosted virtually on January 27th. So as far as celebrating, we're going to have to do it in the, you know, in the confines of our own home, you know.
You recently released another single with Ari Sky called Look Into My Eyes. What went into making this song?
Well, Look Into My Eyes is, again, it's the song that got nominated for the HMMAs. How this song came about is you know, in conversation, Ari's 16. So when that song was written, she was maybe 14, going on 15. And so, you know, I had to think of topics to write about for a young girl. And, you know, it's a boy crush. It's about a girl who has a boy crush and the boy doesn't really notice her. And you know, that's why it's called Look Into My Eyes.
May we listen to some more of your music?
Yes.
This is Look Into My Eyes on CKUT.
Me.
If our listeners want some free listening time or to buy your music, where should they go?
My music is on all digital platforms under Charles V. Rocks Vaccaro. So Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, and all the other channels. And as for Ari Sky, same thing, Ari Sky, A-R-I-S-K-Y-E, on her digital platforms. And that's pretty much it.
Well, thank you for your interview today.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Charles V. Rocks Vaccaro speaking about his music. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
This is not the time for complacency. While we continue to receive encouraging news about COVID-19 vaccines, we're extremely concerned by the surging cases we're seeing in some countries, particularly in Europe and the Americas.
As the U.S. COVID-19 death toll nears 250,000, a second major drug maker reports encouraging findings for a COVID vaccine. We'll speak to Dr. Saad Omer, the director of the Yale Institute for Global Health. Then, 9 months into the pandemic, we look at how many hospitals are failing to provide adequate PPE to doctors and nurses. We'll talk to Jean Ross, co-president of National Nurses United.
We have been calling for this protection for healthcare workers, not just for many months now, but also, if you recall, since the Ebola crisis hit our shores. And sad to say, we are still very lacking.
Plus, Central America has been devastated by back-to-back climate change-fueled hurricanes over the past 2 weeks. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the Quarantine Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The United States recorded nearly 167,000 new coronavirus cases on Monday, the third highest daily toll of the pandemic. The official U.S. death toll, already the highest in the world, is rapidly approaching 250,000, with 800 coronavirus deaths over the past 24 hours. In California, Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom ordered stringent pandemic restrictions for three-quarters of California's counties and is considering a statewide curfew across the state. Iowa's Republican Governor Kim Reynolds has ordered a statewide indoor mask mandate, with some exceptions, along with limits on bars and restaurants and a ban on certain public gatherings. In Arizona, the Navajo Nation Monday ordered non-essential businesses closed, canceled in-person classes, and shut roads to visitors, warning of uncontrolled spread of the virus. In South Dakota, where the COVID-19 death rate is among the worst in the world, emergency room nurse Jody Doring says she's treated many patients who deny COVID-19 is making them ill, even as they're hospitalized. In a now viral thread on Twitter, Doring wrote, quote, "These people really think this isn't going to happen to them, and then they stop yelling at you when they get intubated." She spoke on CNN.
Their last dying words are, this can't be happening, it's not real. And when they should be spending time FaceTiming their families, they're filled with anger and hatred. And it just made me really sad the other night. And I just can't believe that those are going to be their last thoughts and words.
In Delaware, President-elect Joe Biden spoke of a very dark winter ahead as the U.S. continues to lead the world in coronavirus infections and deaths. Biden was asked what will happen if President Trump continues to prevent Biden's transition team from coordinating with the outgoing administration.
More people may die if we don't coordinate.
Biden called on Senate Republicans to pass a COVID relief package like the $3 trillion HEROES Act approved by House Democrats last May. Vice President-elect Kamala Harris noted the pandemic has a far greater impact on communities of color.
Black Americans and Latinos are three times as likely to contract COVID as others and more likely to die. Native Americans are more than four times as likely to be hospitalized as others. And last month, the unemployment rate for Black Americans was almost twice the rate of others.
Michigan's Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer is blasting White House coronavirus advisor Dr. Scott Atlas after he called on Michiganders to rise up against public health measures aimed at slowing the spread of COVID-19. On Sunday, Atlas tweeted, quote, "The only way this stops is if people rise up. You get what you accept," he tweeted. Atlas's tweet came just over a month after the FBI said it had broken up a plot by at least 14 men to attack the Michigan state capitol and to kidnap Governor Whitmer. Whitmer later said Atlas's tweet, quote, "took my breath away." She spoke with CNN Sunday evening.
We know that the White House likes to single us out here in Michigan, me out in particular. I'm not going to be bullied into not following reputable scientists and medical professionals.
On Monday, Stanford University issued a statement distancing itself from radiologist Dr. Scott Atlas, who's currently on leave as a senior fellow at Stanford's Hoover Institution. The statement read, quote, "Dr. Atlas has expressed views that are inconsistent with the university's approach and response to the pandemic." In Mexico, confirmed coronavirus cases have topped 1 million, though the true number of infections is likely many times higher. Mexico's official COVID-19 death toll is nearing 100,000. Pakistan has banned public rallies after a spike in COVID-19 cases. Russia turned an ice rink into a temporary hospital as its cases reached a daily record of nearly 23,000 new infections. Iran also reported its largest daily increase with over 13,000 confirmed cases. Hurricane Iota made landfall on Monday afternoon on Nicaragua's Caribbean coast, an extremely dangerous Category 4 storm. Much of the city of Puerto Cabezas has been left without power, with the roofs of homes and a makeshift hospital ripped off by heavy winds and rain. Iota is the strongest hurricane ever observed this late in the season. It hit Central America just days after Hurricane Eta devastated communities across the region, killing at least 150 people and leaving tens of thousands homeless. We'll have the latest on the Central American hurricanes fueled by the climate crisis later in the broadcast. President Trump continues to refuse to concede to President-elect Joe Biden. On Monday, Trump tweeted Ohio's next Republican gubernatorial primary would be hotly contested after Republican Governor Mike DeWine publicly acknowledged Biden's victory. On Monday, Trump's campaign gave up major parts of its federal lawsuit challenging election results in Pennsylvania, a state Biden won by over 73,000 votes. Trump supporters also dropped lawsuits challenging results in Michigan, Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Georgia's Republican Secretary of State says members of his own party are pressuring him to exclude legally cast ballots from a hand recount of November 3rd's election results. Speaking from quarantine after his wife tested positive for COVID, Brad Raffensperger said South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, urged him to throw out all mail-in ballots in certain counties. And Raffensperger blasted Georgia Republican Congressmember Doug Collins for accusing him of capitulating to Democrats. Raffensperger said, quote, "I'm an engineer. We look at numbers. We look at hard data. I can't help it that a failed candidate like Doug Collins is running around lying to everyone. He's a liar," he said. Georgia's Secretary of State said Georgia's initial count showed Joe Biden won by over 14,000 votes, a result that's extremely unlikely to change significantly after a recount. The New York Times reports President Trump has inquired about bombing Iran's main nuclear site in the coming weeks. Trump raised the issue during a meeting Thursday with Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, and top military officials, including Christopher Miller, the new acting defense secretary. The Times reports the advisors attempted to dissuade the president, warning that a strike could escalate into a broader conflict. But officials told the Times Trump may still be looking for ways to attack Iran or Iranian assets before his term ends. Thursday's meeting was held a day after international inspectors reported Iran's low-enriched uranium
uranium stockpile is growing again following Trump's abandonment of the 2015 Iran nuclear deal. Iran is enriching the uranium at a level suitable for nuclear power plants, but not nuclear weapons. The New York Times is also reporting Trump's expected to soon order the withdrawal of thousands of troops from Afghanistan, Iraq and Somalia. The proposed plan would leave about 2,000 troops in Afghanistan and 2,500 in Iraq. The withdrawal has been opposed by some top military officials. Shortly before he was fired, former Defense Secretary Mark Esper sent a classified memo to the White House opposing the troop withdrawal from Afghanistan. The Ethiopian Air Force bombed the capital of the semi-autonomous northern state of Tigray Monday as part of a new offensive in the nearly two-week conflict. This comes as the Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed, who won the Nobel Peace Prize last year, is rejecting calls to de-escalate. Hundreds of people have died since Ethiopian troops began the attack on Tigray on November 4th. More than 25,000 refugees have fled into Sudan. Peru's Congress on Monday selected the country's third leader in just the past week. Francisco Sagasti's rise to power came a day after the interim president, Manuel Merino, resigned amidst ongoing mass protests in which at least two people were killed. Merino was appointed after what opponents are calling a legislative coup against former President Martin Vizcarra, who was impeached and removed as he's being investigated for corruption allegations. At least half of Peru's Congress members are also under investigation for corruption. In Brazil, local election results in the country's main cities show candidates backed by far-right President Jair Bolsonaro have lost across the board. Among the victories is the election of Monica Benicio of the Rio de Janeiro City Council. Benicio is the widow of Marielle Franco, a vocal Black LGBTQ rights activist, longtime critic of police brutality. While in office, Franco was the only Black woman in Rio City Council. She was assassinated in 2018. Her murder remains unsolved.